An hour of smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Apatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Sal Apatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen, music with Peter Van Steeden, and another big amateur contest. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight! Yay! Allen is to lead this weekly parade to the old town hall. Fred's jogging ahead of the crowd, and the mighty L&R players are running for dear life. Let's join the jubilant throng. Everybody's going. Here they come, radio fans.
Land sakes, what's all that static on the radio, Clement?
Well, that ain't static. That's what they call entertainment, Cynthia. It's town hall tonight.
Clock watchers.
How can you keep watching the clock while I'm proposing, silly?
I ain't gonna be late for my favorite radio show, Oswald. It's Town Hall tonight.
A certain congressman.
You're supposed to make news, Mr. Lionchek. What do you mean by sitting still?
I always sit still on Wednesday evenings, lady. It's Town Hall tonight.
In front of the old town hall, and there's Fred splitting infinitives with the crowd. Let's listen.
Sticks and stones may break your bones, folks, but the old town hall will never hurt you. Let that lady with the baby by there, mister.
Evening, Lunkhead.
Hi there, Gerald. How's the old architect tonight?
Fine. I'm making plans to enjoy myself on the inside.
Go right in, Gerald. Keep a single line, folks. Jack Smart, star of New Faces, makes a personal appearance here tonight. So hurry, hurry, hurry in the other direction, folks.
We're all set, Fred.
Okay, Harry. Tell Peter we're doing the prom.
Right, old Fred. Doing the prom, Peter.
Prom. Prom. Do you prom? It's a vogue, it's a fad. Every frock, every grad does a prom. Prom, prom, when you prom. It's a thrill, it's a treat. Put your heart in your feet when you prom. It's U.S. ladies, so truly native. Throughout the land, they do the dance.
Democratic, penthouse and attic, are hand in hand,
finding romance, doing the prom. See them prom. At Cornell, U of C, Notre Dame, Tennessee, it struck the campus just like a bomb. Now Americanas from Louisiana doing the prom.
Presenting that super stupendous star of sterling stentorian staggle baggle, sonorous swank, and staccato stingo pingo, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before I take my finger out of the knot hole so that you can all take a peek at the show, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, the merchant of venison in season, is calling your attention to the meat war he's waging on Miller's Market all this week. Hodge says Miller may be cutting prices and luring customers by hiding lamb chops in their cat meat, but Hodge is selling meat so cheap, every time he opens his icebox door, the beef tongues give him a Bronx cheer. So much for competition in the neighborhood. And now for the town hall news. So, Harry...
I know, it's the picture sheet, Fred, and it's coming right down.
The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week. The town hall news sees nothing, shows all. Abingdon, Virginia. Robert Porterfield, member of the Actors' Repertory Theater, prepares to reopen the Barter Theater at Abingdon for the summer. Town Hall News shows what lobbies might be like if people were able to swap their fruit and vegetables for theater tickets. I don't know. I don't know.
All right, step right up. The Barter Theater folks, get in for what you've got. Right up. Here, here. Watch that growth under your shawl there, lady.
It's a head of cabbage.
Okay, a head of cabbage gets you a seat in the balcony. Children, half price.
All right, here's a Brussels sprout for my little boy.
Okay, pass right in. The Barter Theater folks, step...
What are you charging, my friends?
What have you got, meat or vegetable?
Tell them, Sarah.
We are theater lovers with a 4-pound ham.
Just right, for 2 tickets in the orchestra, ma'am.
4 pounds ham, it's a lot for 2 tickets.
So what else will we do with a ham, Meyer?
You got something there. Going in.
Wait a minute. Here's a sardine extra, mister.
What's the sardine for, lady?
I'm checking my coat inside.
Pass right in. See our shows for anything that grows, folks. Step right on. Here, what are you doing with that cow, Hank? Giving a theater party?
No. How much milk is it to get in?
Well, if you want to sit in the balcony, it's a quart.
Now, hold still there, Beth, till I get this pail under you.
Oh, here, here, don't miss that pail and mess up the lobby, friend.
Here you are, mister.
Hey, now wait just a minute. You're not leaving your cow in the lobby.
Yep, my wife will be along in a minute. She can milk her own ticket.
Pass right in. The Barter Theater, folks.
Quack, 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 quack,
can I get
quack.
In with this duck, mister?
Quack, quack.
You bet you can.
What's showing here tonight?
Great show tonight. Ibsen's Wild Duck.
Give me back my bird.
Quack,
wait
quack,
a minute.
Quack,
don't
quack,
you
quack.
Want to see the show?
Lord, no. If I want to see a wild duck, I can tease this one up myself.
Quack, quack, quack. Quack.
Last call. The Barter Theater, folks. Show's about to start off.
Hey, can I get in with this crate of berries?
What kind you got?
Strawberries and raspberries.
Okay, here's your ticket.
Thanks.
Well, wait a minute. These are only strawberries.
I know it. You'll get my raspberries when the show starts.
Trenton, New Jersey. H. Norman Schwarzkopf, former state superintendent of police, demonstrates new talking pictures which may be used to replace old-fashioned posters for identification of dangerous criminals. Town Hall News shows new ordeal criminals may have to face when arrested. The scene, a rehearsal hall at a New Jersey jail.
Here's your prisoner, Sergeant. Get in here, ma'am.
Hey, what is this, a toy degree?
Keep your handcuffs on, Murphy, and do as you're told.
I can take it, Sarge. I'd just like to know what it is I gotta take.
Now, this ain't no grilling, ma'am.
No, your rogues gallery talking pictures being made tomorrow morning. You're in here to rehearse. Here's your scenario.
You mean I gotta learn all these lines by tomorrow?
Yes, and you better be letter perfect.
Don't I get no prompter?
Now, look, I got 3 feet of rubber hose here that I don't use for sprinkling.
Okay, Fink, I'll know me, Pat.
All right, we'll start your rehearsal. The picture opens, ta-da-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-da, and then a voice says, crime marches on, ta-da.
That's you, Murphy.
I got it. After the second fanfare, I come on running in with me leg irons and say, hello, Soaps, this is Mayhem Murphy.
No, wait, that's hello, folks, not Soaps.
Well, I'd like to get a laugh on me entrance.
Now, just read your lines, Murphy, no ad-libbing.
Okay. This is Mayhem Murphy, folks, wanted in California.
Right, and then we flash to a picture of the Golden Gate.
Then I say $200 reward.
And we cut to a long shot at a mint.
Right, now in the next scene...
Hey, what's this? It says kissing scene with Goyle.
Yeah, that's prologue to the crime you're committing.
I can't kiss no skirt for pictures, Sarge.
You're called a kissing burglar, aren't you?
Yeah, but I ain't the romantic type. I don't kiss him with me mouth. I use a blackjack.
I know that, but the Hayes office made us clean it up for pictures.
Now, you read that flirtation dialogue, Murphy.
Okay. I beg your pardon, fair damsel. Oh, now, wait a minute, Sarge. That ain't Mayhem Murphy talking.
Listen, Noel Coward wrote this scene, and he knows how you gutter madcaps talk.
Fair damsel. Gee, if this picture's released, I'll be laughed right out of the underworld.
No artistic temperament now, Murphy. Read those lines.
Okay. I beg your pardon, damsel. Ain't the name Genevieve?
Now, here's where you do some real acting, Mayhem. You put your arm around her.
What am I trying to do, steal a belt buckle?
Never mind. Play the scene.
Don't turn away, Genevieve. It's your old boyhood sweetheart, Mayhem Murphy.
She says, if you don't go away, stir no breath, I'll call a cop.
Yeah, and then you say, Jen, darling, and burst into tears.
Now, give it everything.
Jen, darling, boo-hoo.
That's indigestion. We want grief, ma'am.
Boo-hoo, boo-hoo.
No, less boo and more hoo. Give us real tears.
Boo-hoo.
Murphy, your lawyer's here.
Huh?
Your lawyer's here. Do you want to see him?
No lawyer can help me now. Get me Lubitsch.
Once again, once again, the Town Hall News brings you the outstanding sound of the week. St. Andrews, Scotland. Lawson Little relinquishes British amateur golf title to Hector Thompson. New champion breaks par on the last hole. Breaking par.
Give me $2 for gas, Pa.
I'm broke, son.
The Mystery of the Girl That Men Forget. Detective One Long Pan, can you solve this mystery? Here is a young woman.
Oh, please, a place to meet you, miss, eh?
Yes, now, although she is very attractive, she doesn't seem to get anywhere socially. The men aren't interested in her.
Oh, too bad, too bad. You come here, miss, eh? Thank you. Now, you smile for One Long Pan, eh? Uh-huh, just as One Long Pan suspect. Teeth not pretty, smile bad. Confucius say, boys no like girl without smile of beauty. Clear up mystery, one word, I panna.
Now, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we don't mean that if you brush your teeth with I panna toothpaste tonight, you'll be the belle of the ball tomorrow. No dentifrice in the world could ever guarantee that. But I panna can and does make for much more attractive smiles and far healthier mouths, because it not only cleans and brightens your teeth, but also tones and stimulates your gums. And that's very important, because your dentist will tell you this.
Teeth are seldom white and sparkling when gums are soft and tender. And most of the creamy, well-cooked foods we eat nowadays are too soft to give our gums the exercise and stimulation they need.
And that's where iPanna comes in. Because every time you brush your teeth with it, if you'll just put a little extra iPanna on the tip of your finger and massage it into your gums, it will give those under-exercised gums the toning and stimulation they need to help guard against serious gum trouble. That's something iPanna was especially made to do. So give your teeth and gums regular attention with iPanna, and your smile will take care of itself. Always remember iPanna for the smile of beauty.
Panna Troubadours have just played the June Bride's theme song, She Shall Have Music. Now, on Saturday afternoon... Oh, quiet. Here. Quiet, please. If that's some counterfeiter raising his voice...
Hello.
Well, sir, Frank Buck tittered when I scratched a match on the zebra. He didn't know I owned the merry-go-round. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, I can only stay a minute. Papa's taking me down to see the Queen Mary.
Well, I guess if a cat can look at a king, you can certainly take a gander at the Queen Mary.
Papa says it's the biggest boat on the ocean.
It's pretty big, all right. I read about a man who accidentally drove a truck through one of the portholes today.
Yes, it was in the paper. He thought the porthole was the Holland Tunnel.
You know, they ought to close up those portholes. When the tide comes in, the Weehawken ferries will be running in and out of them all night long.
Why are they building boats so big?
I don't know, unless it's to bring over sweepstake tickets.
If the Queen Mary was a little bigger, they could hold the sweepstake races right on the deck.
And they still, that'd be a novel idea, a floating steeplechase race. They haven't looked into that yet. And they'd still have enough room left on the deck to play the Wimbledon tennis matches.
Don't you want to come down to the dock and see her?
No, no, you take Papa down. He can lick the champagne off the prow if it hasn't dried off since the christening.
Oh, they didn't christen the Queen Mary with a measly bottle of champagne.
You mean it was too big?
I'll say. They broke the London Aquarium over it.
They broke the... Well, that's done it as
oh,
far
I
as...
I get it.
No,
Mr.
you don't.
Mr. Ryan!
Now, wait a minute. Oh,
okay, sis, I'm right on the job. Fit as a bellows and ready to blow...
I'll say. They broke the London Aquarium over it.
They broke the... Well, that's done it as
oh,
far as...
Oh, I get it.
No,
Mr.
you don't.
Mr. Ryan!
Now, wait a minute.
Okay, sis, I'm right on the job. Fit as a bellows and ready to blow.
Will I put your sample case down here, Mr. Rand?
Yeah, set it any place, Homer. I'll give this sap a verbal going over.
Would you boys mind introducing yourselves? I hate to throw people out of here incognito.
This is Mr. Rant, Mr. Allen.
Yep, Cyril Rant, buddy. If you got nerve enough to grab hold of a live wire, put her there.
I will. If you're a live wire, I hope I've got enough iron in my system to short-circuit you.
Hey, will I slug him, Chief?
Now, no rough stuff, Homer.
Yeah, don't get Homer peeved, bud. He's my demonstrator.
Let me run me arm down his throat for luck, Chief.
I wouldn't do any internal reaching if I were you, Homer.
Did anyone ever try to put his arm down your throat, Mr. Allen?
That's how the one-armed paper hanger got that way.
You ain't taking credit for the headless horseman, too, are you?
I never bite off more than I can chew.
Can't I just take a handful of his nose, Chief?
No, Homer, I may want to get a hold on him myself later.
I don't want to appear invincible, boys. But there's only one thing I ever started that I didn't finish.
I know. Anthony Adverse.
Hey, where does this Adverse hang out? I'll mangle him.
Ah, take it easy, Homer.
Mr. Rant wants to see you about an automatic vacation, Mr. Allen.
What's an automatic vacation?
Open that sample case, Homer.
Okay.
Now, you see these gadgets and phonograph records, Bud?
Yes, yes.
That's your automatic vacation, complete for $21.75.
I'll say, anything you do at the beach or in the country, you can do right in your own home.
Well, I'll show you. Your vacation generally starts off with a horseback ride, don't it?
With the automatic vacation, you do your horseback riding indoors.
Correct.
Now, to get the effects of an hour in a saddle, you simply slip on this union suit and bounce up and down on the arm of a chair.
This suit will make you redder than any horse, Mr. Allen, and in the same places.
That's right. The legs is lined with sandpaper.
But I ride side saddle.
Yeah, I suspected that. Well, you'll take one of these here sissy union suits with a sandpaper hip.
If you like the beach, Mr. Allen, Mr. Ramp has a Coney Island mattress.
You just lay down.
And every 5 minutes, the mattress releases 50 fleas, and a big wet foot comes out and steps on your back.
Some hijinks, eh, buddy?
Show Mr. Allen the automatic picnic, Mr. Ramp.
What happens on the automatic picnic?
Well, you shut yourself up in a closet with this gadget here.
Plug this wire into your light socket.
You slam the closet door, pull this switch here.
And bedlam breaks loose. 200 ants run up the legs of your pants. This automatic milk bottle shoots a pint of milk up each sleeve, and a rubber hot dog squirts mustard all over your shirt.
Yeah, and as you stand up, this paintbrush daubs the seat of your pants with lemon meringue.
You can't get any more action than that at a picnic, Mr. Allen.
No, no, but look, I'm...
Hey, do you go in for speedboat riding?
No, I...
Get a load of this here stay-at-home Chris Craft.
Why, that's nothing but an electric fan.
Turn it on, Mr. Allen.
You get that salt air?
Yes, it's salty, all right.
Do you like the spray?
Well, I don't... Oh, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who threw that water in my face?
That's the automatic spray, Mr. Allen.
Where was that salt air coming from?
Why, the fan's got a herring tied inside.
Every 10 revolutions, you get a quart of water right in the puss. That's your spray.
I'm not interested, boys. I don't go out much in the summer. I might take a girl out for a drive of an evening, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, how about one of our automatic sweethearts? Sit right down, Bud.
Hold this steering wheel, Mr. Allen.
All right. I'll hold the wheel. Now what happens?
You turn out all the lights in the room and put this record on the phonograph.
Then your automatic sweetheart starts. Listen.
No, I won't hold hands. No, don't put your arm around me. You keep both hands on the wheel. No, I never kiss strange men. No, I never kiss.
Turn that thing off, will you?
What's wrong, Mr. Allen? Don't you like the automatic vacation?
Well, we ain't overlooked nothing, have we, Bud?
Only one thing, boys. I don't get any vacation this summer.
Why, I knew he was wasting our time, Homer.
And mine too, boys. So long, Portland.
Tally-ho!
Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the boys sing a sequel to that song, Blow Gabriel Blow. It's called Your Tooch to Me.
One would think you own a block of stock of society's Plymouth Rock.
Why be so ultra, ultra
when romance has come our way? Now your father may be sweller than old John D. Rockefeller, but you're toots to me. You might own an ocean liner and the rice that come from China, but you're toots to me. Because you've got two arms I sigh for, a smile I die for, you're grade A. I want to know if I should try for a wedding day. I'll admit your eyes are bluer than the waters of Kahlua or the Baltic Sea. You're the sun in California, you're the thrill of Archer Chandler's melody. Well, I've admitted you're terrific if you'd forget your family tree. Now you listen, Cinderella, if I'm gonna be your fella, you're toots to me.
You may be a big sensation and the idol of our nation, but you're toots.
You're just toots to me.
You can swim the broad Atlantic if you want to drive me frantic, but you're toots
to me.
Although you think that you're perfection, you're my confection, my lovely sweet.
You are the choice of my selection. You can't be beat. I'll admit you're so exciting and so terribly inviting that you're awfully bad for me. But I'm telling my relations that we're sending invitations pleasantly.
Cause I've admitted you're terrific
if you forget your family tree. Now look here, Cinderella, if I'm gonna be a fella, you gotta understand you're always toots to me.
We hear a lot about problem children, ladies and gentlemen, but we seldom hear what becomes of them when they grow up. Now, tonight we draw the veil on that mystery by looking into the home of such a person, the problem husband.
I tell you, darling, things have been humming so at the office, I just haven't been able to decide about our vacation.
Well, how about going to the Adirondacks?
Oh, no, not the Adirondacks. The change of water always upsets me.
Well, then the seashore ought to be...
No, not the seashore. The change of food always upsets me.
Well, don't tell me we're going to spend our vacation on a bus.
Oh, no, never a bus. You know the ride always upsets me.
That's enough. As far as I'm concerned, you can spend your vacation by yourself. In a stratosphere balloon.
Oh, no, not that. The altitude would be bad for my heart. You know, I just can't do it.
Well, of course, husbands like that certainly are problems, but then so are most vacations. Different foods, a change of drinking water, over-exercise, irregular meals, they all tend to upset your system and make you feel dull and logy. That's because under such conditions, two things are usually present. Wastes in your body and acid in your system. And that's why we suggest to everyone going away on a vacation, get Sal Hepatica. Here's why.
Sal Hepatica is the mineral salt laxative especially made to do not just one, but two important things. To rid your body of wastes and also to combat acidity.
Just remember that a healthy vacation is a happy vacation. So remember Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Well, there's the theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players, and they'll be with you immediately after your station announcement. ¶¶
and gentlemen, as part of a nationwide campaign to see if you can take it, we bring you the Mighty Allen Art Players. This is the first company to ever sit back on its laurels and arise to find every member of the cast covered with poison ivy rash. Tonight, they bring you an episode from the real story court. It's called Murder in the Chop House. Or it isn't the overhead that worries the waffle shop owner. It's the turnover. Over to your Peter.
Once again, we take you to the real story court, ladies and gentlemen. The scene of tonight's real story is laid in the wild and woolly little ranch town of Whipple Tree, Arizona. The real story court is in session.
Order in the court, please. Next case.
People of the state of Arizona versus Trapper Allen.
And the charge is?
Murder.
Murder. Order, please. First witness.
Amy Flank.
Yes, Judge. I'm the cashier down at the Wet Dog Cafe.
What happened, Amy?
Well, this cowboy comes in the Wet Dog and orders the blue plate lunch. The waiter brought him his blue plate and two shots rang out.
And the waiter dropped dead?
Yes, Your Honor.
Who fired those fatal shots, Amy?
That fiend there, Trapper Allen.
Are you guilty or not guilty, Trapper Allen?
I reckon I'm guilty, Judge. Do I get the chair?
Well, no. We're cutting down on our electric bills. So I'm shooting all convicted criminals from the bench.
It's mighty one-sided, Judge.
Before I seal your doom, Trapper, have you anything to say?
I couldn't help that murder, Judge. You wouldn't mow me down if you only knew my story.
Well, we ain't killing no innocent men in the real story court, Trapper Allen. Tell us your story.
Well, I was born on the range, Judge. My folks were so poor, the mice just used our house for a shortcut. My pa, Wolf Allen Sr., drank so much, he used to wear casters on his suspenders. So when he fell down, the bartender could wheel him home. One night when I was about frying size, Pa comes home roaring plaster.
Whoopee!
Drunk again, Wolf Allen.
Yippee, so am I.
Quit yelling, Wolf. Little Trapper's abed.
Ah, oh, go sizzle your fat.
That ain't fit talk for childish ears, Wolf Allen.
Ah, oh, go hang up your hide.
If you're a-going on blaspheming, Wolf Allen, I'm stuffing little Trapper's ears.
Stuffing them with what?
I'll get out to the corral and tear some wool off in a sheep. I can stuff little Trapper's ears with that.
Then get for Tomp your apron.
I'll get.
And that was the last I ever seen of Ma, Judge.
She skedaddled, Trapper?
No, Judge. One of our sheep kicked Ma on the head, and she died of ramifications. Well, soon as I could operate a safety pin, I left home and went to school. The happiest years of my life were spent in the little old fourth grade. I was fixing to marry the teacher, but one day we had a spelling bee.
Quiet, quiet, scholars. We'll start our spelling bee.
I can spell dog, teacher.
All right, Xenia, spell dog.
Capital D-O-G.
What's the capital for, Xenia?
It's a big dog, teacher.
Quiet, quiet, scholars. Trapper Allen.
Oh, yes, teacher.
Spell lamb.
L-A apostrophe M.
Why, Trapper Allen, 15 years in my class and you can't spell lamb.
Well, you don't have to get personal upon Miss Tut.
Don't get your bristles up, Trapper.
Oh, you ain't so smart. You're still in the fourth grade yourself.
Well, I'm the teacher, ain't I?
Oh, you can't prove it by me. I ain't learned nothing yet.
You clear out of this school, Trapper Allen. Our engagement is broken. Goodbye.
Well, there I was. Ma killed by a sheep, my engagement broke, and stampeded out of school because I couldn't spell lamb. I was beginning to get sheep conscious, Judge. I went to Minneapolis to forget. Then I went to St. Paul to forget.
You went to St. Paul to forget?
Yes, to forget Minneapolis. Then I fell in love again, Judge. She was a bubble dancer. I told her I'd get a soap pipe and we'd set up housekeeping. She promised to blow with me, was on a Saturday night. I went down to her house to elope. I whistled up to the window. Hey, Mona! Hey, Mona!
Hey, what you yelling about, stranger? Who are you?
I'm Trapper Allen. I'm here to haul bride.
To haul what? Where's your wagon?
I come to elope with Mona.
Well, you're too late, buddy. My daughter Mona's eloped.
Eloped?
Yep, she ran off with an actor. Mona's a sucker for Spats.
Didn't she leave no address?
Yeah, you can write Mona General Delivery, care of Sheep's Head Bay.
Sheep's Head Bay, Judge. Sheep had crossed me again. I took all my money and went to New York City. I figured in my crude way, if I could make a fortune, I could win Mona back. I went right to Wall Street. I was hankering to plunge. I walked plumb into the first bucket shop on Wall Street.
You want to buy stock, stranger?
Yes, I'm Trader Allen, a big plunger from Flushing.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeedy. Well, what's your pleasure?
I gotta make a quick fortune, stranger. What stocks can I buy?
Consolidated Fire Hose. It's a hot tip.
Is the country expecting a lot of fires?
No, now this is confidential, trader.
Yeah.
All the lakes are leaking into Boulder Dam.
Yeah.
Water pressure's so low, people will have to use fire hose to pump water into their houses.
Well, here's my poke. $60,000. Every cent I've got in the world.
Okay, now you own 1,000 shares of Consolidated Fire Hose.
Lucky old West and me.
Yes, indeedy. Let's get on over to the ticker, Trapper, and we can watch Consolidated Fire Hose go up.
Okay, in a couple of minutes, I'll let you know how it feels to be a millionaire.
Yes, sir, here it is. Fire Hose, 60 even.
60? Down to 42.
What's this?
What's what?
Consolidated Fire Hose down to 2.
Can't go no lower.
It's 1. It's nothing.
It's minus 2. I'm wiped out.
Wiped out? You owe me $400.
And there I was, Judge. A bum.
Ah, but for once, you couldn't blame your misfortune on Sheep.
Well, that's where you're wrong, Judge. Why do you think Consolidated Fire Hose went down?
Why?
Some tinkering fool invented the hydraulic ramp. It was still my sheep, Jinx, Judge. I was fleeced. I couldn't sleep. They finally carried me to a doctor. The doctor said...
You haven't slept for 2 months, Trapper?
I can't even close an eye to wink, Doc.
There's only one way you can ever get to sleep.
You mean...
Yes, you'll have to count sheep.
Sheep! Sheep!
Here, put down that gun.
Oh. Sheep!
Sheep!
And you killed that doctor.
I had to, Judge. Sheep had killed my ma, got me chucked out of school, cost me my gal, and made me a bum. That's why I come out here to Arizona to cow country. I wanted to spend the rest of my life where I could never see another sheep.
But why did you shoot that waiter at the Wet Dog Cafe?
Judge, when I looked down at my plate and seen that snake had brought me chef special ragu and casserole, I just seen red.
Well, what is chef's special ragu and casserole?
Lamb stew.
Ah, yours is a pitiful story, Trapper Allen.
Yes, Judge.
I hate to shoot you, Trapper, but it's the law of the range.
As man to man, do I look guilty standing here, Judge?
Well, not exactly guilty, Trapper. You look sheepish to me.
Sheepish? Not that. No, no, not sheepish, Judge.
Yes, Trapper, sheepish.
Then go ahead and shoot, Judge. Shoot!
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Now,
there
tonight,
is one thing, ladies and gentlemen.
I beg your pardon, Harry.
Not at all, Fred. Go right ahead.
Well, Harry, I was just going to suggest something for a person who wakes up in the morning feeling sluggish and out of sorts.
Yes, I know, Fred. Sal Hepatica. That certainly is a coincidence, too, because it's exactly what I was going to say.
My, what a small world it is after all, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And then, Fred, I was going on to say that two things usually cause that logy, under-par feeling. Waste in the body and acid in the system. And the reason Sal Hepatica is ideal to take then is because it's the mineral salt laxative especially made to do not just one, but two important things. To remove those wastes from the body and also to combat acidity. So the next time you're feeling under the weather, put 2 teaspoonfuls of Salopatica in a glass of water and drink it.
And see how quickly you'll be feeling alert, alive, and normal again. Am I right, Harry?
You certainly are, Fred, but I'll bet you'll never guess what I was going to say next.
Now, wait a minute. Now, don't tell me. All Just right. Let me work it out for myself. It starts with, remember?
Oh, somebody must have told you. But then, a lot of people know, Fred, because for more than 40 years, men and women everywhere have remembered Salopatica. For the smile of health. Contest. Here comes Fred Allen leading the winners of this week's Town Hall Amateur Audition. Let's give them a real Town Hall reception.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our amateurs tonight have been selected from the hundreds of applicants who were heard during the past week's audition. Now, tonight, these boys and girls compete for a first prize of $50 and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City. And a second prize of $25 in cash. Now, you folks here in the town hall will select your own winners. Your applause after each act will be recorded on our applause machine, and the two acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later so that you may select your winners for first and second prizes. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I am happy to have you meet Miss Louise Duke. Is that right, Miss?
That's right.
That's right. You're not from New York, are you?
No.
You're not, huh? You say that sort of laughingly there. I hope there's nothing behind that smile.
Oh, no, I like New York very much.
You do. I could tell from your accent that you didn't come from New York. New York. Some New Yorkers have a distinct accent. You can just catch it in a minute like that. But are you from the West?
No, I'm from the South.
You're from the South, huh? What part of the South?
Georgia, Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia. Uh-huh. That's a very delightful city, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I never could understand why anyone would sit down and deliberately write a song and call it Pardon My Southern Accent. I think it's delightful. And I'm quite sure that you agree with me, don't you?
Thank you.
Do you like what's left of our city here?
What's left of it?
Well, I mean, we're just building these little things like the building we're in here. We're just putting them up right and left.
Well, I don't want to see it when you get it finished.
You want to see it when we...
I don't want to see it.
Oh, you don't want to see it when we get it finished. Well, we're doing some very fine work underground here. Of course, you have to... have you been sightseeing since you've been here?
Yeah.
You enjoy it?
Absolutely.
You're very fortunate at this particular time to be here. Have you seen the Queen Marie?
Uh-huh.
You can't tell what will turn up for a sightseer coming to New York. It's sort of a bag of tell game. This week, the Queen Marie is here. A few weeks ago, the Hindenburg was here. Last week, Mr. Zionchek was here. You never can tell. You come here to see things. Well, Miss Duke, we're very happy to have you here with us tonight, and I hope that you're going to enjoy your stay in New York City. Now, what are you going to sing?
Giddy Giddy.
Goody goody. Sort of a blues number, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Coming from the South, do you think we should change a blues number to a Gray's number just for tonight?
We'll leave it blues for tonight.
All right. There was one thing I've been thinking. I've been waiting to meet someone from the South to ask one question. I wonder if you'd mind answering it.
I'll be glad to if I can.
Is it true what they say about Dick?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, and you're going to sing Goody Goody. Thank you.
know you met someone who set you back on your heels. Goody, goody, oh, you met someone and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody, oh, you gave her your love too, just as I gave mine to you. And she broke it in little pieces. Now how do you do? Oh, you lie awake just singing the blues all night. Goody, goody, and you think that love's a barrel of dynamite. Hooray and hallelujah, you had it coming to ya. Goody, goody for her, goody, goody for me. And I hope you're satisfied, you rascal, you.
Thank you very much. That was Miss Louise Duke, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you very much, Miss Duke. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present the Paradise Islanders. Three boys from uptown, Clarence Riggs, Harold McVeigh, and Anthony Crayer. Is that right, boys?
That's right, Ralph.
And you come from the Bronx, Uncle Jim tells me.
Woodlawn.
From Woodlawn? Where is Paradise Island in Woodlawn? Is there...
There isn't any.
There isn't, huh? One seldom thinks of Woodlawn and Paradise Island in the same breath, I must... That's quite a mixed metaphor there, incidentally, isn't it? Thinking in the same breath, it's... Anything is apt to happen here verbally. But you have three guitars, two regular guitars, and one electrical guitar. Is there any special name, sir? Pardon me, what is your name?
Clarence Riggs.
You're Mr. Riggs. My name is Alan. I'm very happy to meet you, Mr. Riggs. Is there any special name you have for the electrical guitar, or is that just what it's called?
Well, it's the electrical Hawaiian guitar.
Electrical Hawaiian guitar. They have beautiful tones. I've heard one or two of them played there. Do you mind telling us how they're operated? Might prove interesting to folks.
You just play on here, and the music goes round and round and comes out there.
Comes out... Well, you have to plug it in. I mean,
absolutely.
You get... What...
It's in.
Oh, I see. It has a beautiful tone, hasn't it? And how can you play melody on it, or do you just play a Hawaiian style, mostly chords?
Play melody.
You play melody and chords, too. Well, that's very interesting, and thank you very much. Now, what are you going to play tonight?
Kohala March.
A Hawaiian number?
That's right.
Kohala March. All right, thank you very much. Beautiful tone, Mr. Riggs. It has a very fine tone. Are they very common, those instruments, incidentally?
No, sir, they aren't.
They aren't. That's about the second one I've seen. I was wondering whether they were more or less exclusive, and I thought I'd ask you. Well, thank you a lot for coming up, and I hope you didn't use up too much power. We'll charge it up and let you know about it in the morning. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present Miss Norma Rugo. How are you tonight, Miss Rugo?
Very well, thank you.
You are. Uncle Jim tells me that you have come all of the way from Venice, Italy. Is that right?
Right.
Were you born there?
Yes.
Have you been in America very long?
40 years.
4 years. You have, huh? Would you prefer to be back in Venice?
Well,
during the past winter, you couldn't tell the difference between Venice and some of the streets as I...
The
think the summer is better.
Oh, the summer is much nicer. Venice, though, I understand, has the largest floating population of any city in the world. I only know, of course, what I've read about it. How do the traffic policemen work there? Do they just stand in the middle of the street and tread water, or do they...
On the bridge and...
Oh, on the bridges, huh? I was wondering, I thought a traffic policeman, after a number of years, would be inclined to end up with webbed feet, which would... Of course, nowadays, at that, you can't really tell what's going on in a policeman's shoe, I mean, unless you know him real well. But, Miss Rugo, Uncle James tells me that you have a beautiful voice. Told me at the audition he's very enthusiastic about your voice. He tells me you sing beautifully. Have you studied voice?
2 years.
2 years. In Europe or in this country?
Yes, in Europe.
In Europe.
Then my father and my mother died, so I could afford to continue.
Continue studying?
Yes.
Would you like to have an opportunity to go further in the world of music in this country?
Yes, I love it.
Well, we're going to ask you to sing now, and we hope that something may happen to your advantage that will enable you to continue doing what you would like to do. Because Jim has told me some fine things, and I know that we're all going to be very pleased to have you sing for us tonight. Now, what are you going to sing?
I sing Scherzo by Mascagni.
By Mascagni. Scherzo.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. Gentlemen, may I present Miss Jean Roland. Is that right, Miss Roland?
Rolandi.
Rolandi? Is that a French name?
Well, my father's French and my mother's Hungarian.
Oh, I see. Uncle Jim tells me that you have been studying the violin for quite a while.
That's right.
For many years?
Oh, about 8 or 10.
8 or 10, huh? Do you like the... Well, naturally, you must like it. He wouldn't be bothered. Rather a silly question, but you can't think of everything at once, can you?
That's right.
Are you studying music now?
Not right now, no.
You aren't, huh? Do you mind?
I'm born to.
What? Aren't you working?
No.
You
aren't.
Don't you do any other sort of work?
Well, I'm studying fashion designing.
Oh, fashion designing. Well, there certainly should be an encouraging future in that. Something should be done about some of the fashions, I will say.
I'd rather be a violinist, though.
Well, perhaps through one medium you can gain your end in another profession. You never can tell. We live in hope. Hope springs eternal. Not Bob Hope, but there's another. Bob Hope's legs aren't what they used to be from what they tell me. But fashion designing is should have a great future in it. More practical, perhaps, at the moment than music.
I know that something certainly should be done about the designs of the bathing suits the girls have been wearing the last couple of summers. Some of the bathing suits they wore last year, somebody should design something. You saw a fellow walking along Coney Island with a girl, you didn't know whether he had an 8 weeks tan or whether he was blushing all over. It was very confusing. But what would you like to play? What is your instrument? It isn't a Stradivarius, is it?
Oh, no.
Well, after all, I wish it was.
So do I.
After all, we're not interested in... really interested in who made the violin. It's who made your bows. But, All right. Now, what are you going to play tonight, Mr. Orlandi?
I'm going to play an arrangement of my own of a gypsy air.
Of gypsy air. That's probably a theme song dedicated to a conceited gypsy. Gypsy air. Well, we'll just let it go, and thank you very much. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Bayonne, New Jersey, may I present Marie and Julia Dorothy. Is that right?
That's right.
And which is who, and who is which?
I'm Julia.
You're Julia?
I'm Marie.
That you must be Marie, then, mustn't you? Do you go to school, Julia?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Go to high school?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
And what do you do, Marie? Do you go to school?
I just teach dancing.
You teach dancing?
Yes.
What sort of dancing?
Irish dancing.
Irish dancing? You teach Irish dancing in Bayonne?
That's right, in Elizabeth.
In Elizabeth, too. Are there many people interested in Irish dances these days?
Oh, quite a few.
There are. Well, that surprises me. Most of the dances you see around the dance halls that you go into, it really isn't dancing. It looks more like chill set to music, unless you... But there's nothing... Do you teach jigs and reels and...
That's right.
Jigs, reels, breakdowns?
And how.
Oh, boy, and how, huh? Well, there's nothing like a good old Irish breakdown. You know how... except a nervous breakdown. That comes a poor second. But I had an uncle, Seanan O'Finnessy. He was the champion breakdown dancer in Brooklyn years ago. I remember one Friday night he started a breakdown on the third floor of a tenement house over there. When the dance broke up Monday morning, he had danced through three floors and he was 8 feet underground still in time when the dance broke up. Well, I'm sorry, girls. What would you like to sing? You're going to sing... And do an Irish dance.
Rocky Road to Dublin.
The Rocky Road to Dublin. Thank you very much. Julia, you can go right ahead.
Along the Rocky Road to Dublin, we'll go swinging along, singing a song with joy. Me heart was bubbling with Cardiff. night. Sure, every time I look at her roguish eyes, the Irish blue, I couldn't help but feel very proud that I was Irish too. All my thoughts of dear old Dublin seemed to carry me back to a rickety shack. How I love to be there once again, just like before. Only to love Cordelia Moore along the rocky road to Dublin.
Charming little girls from Bayonne, New Jersey. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present Al Ray from New York City. Now, what would you like to sing, Al?
I've got a feeling you're fooling.
Nothing personal. I mean that. Well, all right, go right ahead. Thank you.
I've got a feeling you're fooling. I've got a feeling you're having fun. I'll get the go-by when you're done fooling with me. I've got a feeling you're fooling. I've got a notion it's make-believe. I think you're laughing right up your sleeve fooling with me. Life is worth living while you are giving moments of paradise. You're such a standout, but how you hand out that hocus pocus from your eyes. I've got a feeling you're fooling. I've got a feeling it's all a frame. It's just a well-known old army game, fooling with you.
Thank you, Al. And that concludes our amateur contest for tonight. And now, while I consult our applause machine for the winners, ladies and gentlemen, Harry has a word about the winners in another contest. All right, Harry.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, here are this week's winners of the cash prizes in the Bristol-Myers Window Display Contest for Druggists. Lewix Royal Pharmacy, San Francisco, California. Edward A. Heimlich, Bronx, New York. W.H. Salo Drug Company, Golden City, Missouri. Atkinson & Howard, Richmond, Virginia. Rice Drug Store, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Druggists such as these, ladies and gentlemen, are among your best friends, serving you with your many needs both day and night. May we congratulate them and thank them for their cooperation. May we also thank you, listeners, for your cooperation in remembering the two products that make all these Wednesdays with Fred Allen possible. Ipana Toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. All right, Fred, have you got the results?
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the two acts we've called back on the stage. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold his hand over the heads of these young ladies, and as I call the names, I'm going to ask you to kindly applaud just once again, if you will, and select your winners for first and second prizes. Now, first, the young lady who has come all the way from Venice in Italy, who sang so well in her fine soprano voice, Miss Norma Rugo. Then the two young ladies with their Irish jigs, reels, and Irish song from Bayonne, New Jersey, the Doherty sisters. Thank you. And what does the machine say, Harry?
It's coming right up, Fred.
Thank you. The first prize, $50 in cash, and the week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City goes to Miss Norma Rugo. Second prize, $25 in cash, goes to Marie and Julia Doherty. Thank you very much. I'm sorry we all couldn't win, but thank you all for coming. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight, ladies and gentlemen, until next Wednesday night, when you're all invited to join us for another hour of smiles at the Old Town Hall. And don't forget, only 27 more days to Stupnagel and Bud. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.